All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Tuesday, February 10th of 2026. Looking ahead here, we have a four-game NBA main slate. We had some League of Legends action and tennis action already get underway as well. So good luck to all of you playing those slates. But for those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at Saber Sim. This is a show where we go over how to use the Saber Sim app, answer any and all DFS related questions, get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there's a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the Saber Sim teams. Can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern, so you can tune in any one of those days to get your questions answered. All right, we are back after a little bit of a break here. Appreciate you guys tuning back in. I was out for the weekend here. Took Super Bowl weekend off. Did a little traveling, so excited about that. It was fun. Happy to be back. As far as the schedule for the rest of the week, we will have office hours today. No show tomorrow, but then we will have office hours Thursday and Friday. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and from there on out, should be pretty business as usual the week following and the week after and so on for the immediate future here. But just want to give you guys an update. Show today, no show Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we are back like normal. Now, as far as getting over to questions, had some questions come in the YouTube chat, had some questions come in Discord. We are just going to work our way straight top down, have the NBA slate pulled up on the screen. So first question of the day. Hello, I wanted to see how I could effectively like use a high ownership fade, high sim variance, sort by projection, and do this for single game showdown NBA and also for full roster. Okay, so ownership fade is a, for those of you who have been around for a long time, it used to be a slider that we had. When you would go to the settings, we had a correlation, we had sim diversity. We used to have a third one called ownership fade. Now we just have two. And the reason for that is because we realized that through our main sorting metrics, we were effectively double counting ownership. So we were accounting for ownership via this slider, and then we were also accounting for it in Saber Score. Ownership gets accounted for in any contest sim that we run. So we moved away from having the slider a couple years ago. Now, what this user wants to do is use some type of ownership fade, they want to take it into account in the lineup building process. They want to use a high sim variance, and then they want to sort by projected score. We used to also call it sim variance too, and now we just call it sim diversity. So it's definitely somebody who's used Saber Sim in the past, and then they're trying to kind of take this approach, use it for classics, and then also use it for showdowns. So obviously, the concepts here are going to have to kind of adapt to the new way the app is designed. I think that number one, the high sim variance slash sim diversity is very easy. It's still here. You can just increase this slider. You know, it's on 7 by default. Okay, increase it up to 8, to 9, to 10. Me personally, for showdowns, I would use 10. For classics, I would not go above 9. I think 9 should be like kind of your cap out for classic slates. So those are my thoughts here on the diversity slider. As far as what you can do for ownership fade, you know, since it is not a slider in and of itself and you want to sort by projected score, what I would maybe consider is some type of rule around ownership. You could do an aggregate rule, you know, something as simple as, hey, you know, let's make sure that my some ownership in my lineups is no more than X, and you come up with a number and you use that, right? That could be one way. You could use some type of product or geometric mean ownership as well. But I think some type of ownership rule is going to best serve what you're trying to accomplish. And if you don't really know what GeoMean is or kind of where to start with it, I do have a breakdown of that over in the Office Hours channel in Discord in the pinned messages. If you scroll down here, check out this video. I said Ben asked what GeoMean is a couple of times lately, recorded a new video explaining it. So I will take this video and I will link it here in the YouTube chat so you can check that out. But I think a rule is effectively what the ownership fade aspect of things is going to be here. And then as far as sorting, right? So once you get into the post build, change your diversity from portfolio to uniques one, change your rank by to projected score. If you don't want to do this every time, you can expedite the process by going to templates, go to add new, and then set up a template that does what we just showed. Now, when you create this template, and maybe I want to name it, and I want to name it projected score sorting or something. I come into here, I go proj score sort, save it. Then I can even star it. If I star it, we will automatically use this template anytime you upload a contest file. So every single time you upload your file, we'll create a group for you. And then, you know, if you had 10 lineups, it would look just like this automatically. So I think a template is going to serve you best in that regard. That way you can just easily and quickly create those groups, not have to change it every time. So that's what I would be looking to start with. Check out that GeoMean tutorial to kind of break down some ownership versus product ownership versus GeoMean and give you an idea of kind of where to start. But that is what I would be looking to do here. All right. Good one to get us started. Next question. Does flashback ROI numbers include rake? Yes, they do. When we run our flashback sims, well, we are using the exact payout structure and exact contest details. So for instance, we know that the bounce pass has 500 entrants. We know what the prize pool is. Well, the rake is taken out of the prize pool, right? If I came in here and I actually did the fee is 777, multiply it by 500. So the true, you know, amount of money it takes to fill up this contest is $388,500. Well, the prize pool is $350,000, right? So the rake here is being deducted in the prize pool. We are using that information in the post-contest sim. We understand what your actual fee is. We understand what the prize pool is. Therefore, the post-contest ROI values do include, take into account rake in your contests. All right. Next question. Is there a recommended approach when setting min-max exposures? I think there are two options. A, set exposures and build lineups, or B, build lineups and then set exposures as a filter to apply. What are the pros slash cons of each approach? Okay, good question. So I think you kind of hit this one in the head. You could basically set your exposures before building lineups, or you can set them after building lineups. Now, when I would use one versus the other is going to depend on how many requests I am making and how stringent they are. So for instance, let's say I want to make 10 exposure requests, but I'm being very, very specific about them. You know, I'm putting like a minimum 40% Wemby, but maximum 50. I want them in a very tight band. And then, you know, I go down the list and I do this for a number of players, right? 20 to 30. When I'm very, very particular in my exposures, and I care a lot that the exposures fall within the ranges I've set, I would be more inclined to do them pre-build, because effectively the more inputs you have, the more you should want to give SaberSim that information up front so it can be aware of it in the lineup building process. That way you get a pool of lineups that actually looks like what you want it to look like. The alternative, if you don't do that, is that you might find yourself fighting with SaberSim because it just built the exposures that effectively it wanted to build, but now you're trying to come in after the fact and apply these tight bands, and it's not the set of lineups you built was really not intended to meet those exposure requests. So now you find yourself hitting error messages or having to make sacrifices that maybe you don't want to make. So when you're very particular, when you know exactly what you want, I think it is better to give SaberSim that information before building lineups. The alternative here, right, is when you build lineups first and then make a couple of tweaks. You know, I think this approach is maybe better for somebody who has less opinions coming in. But after the lineups build, well, maybe they just feel like one or two players, exposures are just too high. Like, you know what? I didn't hate this player coming in, or it's not to say I don't like them, but when I look at their exposure and it says 90%, it makes me a little uncomfortable. And so it's not that I don't want to play them. It's not that I don't want positive leverage, but I would rather just have like 70% as opposed to 90, right? That's just a little bit more of the risk management side. So I guess there's like the approach of like, hey, these are the guys I want to target. These are the guys I don't want. And then the other side is like, hey, you know, I'm pretty open to a lot of these plays, but the stance on these few plays are just a little too high and I want to manage my risk, right? So that's kind of the other side where I think it's totally okay to just not put those in up front, make them as needed, because you might end up building a set of lineups where you don't even need to do that, right? So I think that is a fine approach as well. But I think, you know, both can coexist and both can be okay for different types of players, right? People are playing DFS differently, and I think both approaches are okay. You know, there's not one wrong or right approach in that regard. All right. Next question. I'm literally coming in last whenever I play cash games. The SaberSim appoints lineups based on contest. Why is my cash lineup always filled with players below 10% owned? I'm in the worst stretch ever when it comes to DFS NBA, and I don't know what to do to get out of it. I play two tourneys and a cash lineup every day and haven't been anywhere close. Okay, so I think, you know, my initial impression here is that I think you are building your cash lineup potentially wrong here. I have a video in the office hours pin messages again, how to build but I do want to get this video over to you since you specifically mentioned cash. But we'll walk through it as well. But that video is a good refresher, so I would check that out. All right. Got that over to you. Perfect. So the big difference here that you need to be aware of is in your settings in the projection table, this build mode, okay? So the sim mode is what is the default, and it is designed for GPPs, tournaments, satellites. That's really what the sim mode is for. The optimizer mode is what is designed for head-to-heads, cash games, double ups, you know, potentially triple ups if you want. You know, that is what optimizer mode is more designed to do. So when you say, hey, I'm playing two tourneys and a cash lineup, automatically I would make sure you're running two different builds. Build one could be for your tournaments. Build two can be for your cash lineup. Okay. And you can even rename these. You know, I'm going to right click on it, click rename, and I'm going to call this tourneys. And then I'm going to rename build two and call it cache. Then within each build, I would have different settings. For the tourneys, I would leave it on the default. For the cache, I would change the setting from build mode sim to build mode optimizer. The big difference here is that what the sim mode does is it takes random samples of each game on the slate, builds out, uses those sims that it pulled to build the best lineup, puts it in the pool, does it again and again and again. Optimizer mode uses all of the sims every single time, and it builds the highest projected lineup first, second highest projected, third highest, etc. In cache, you really do not want to sacrifice projected points. So it's important to prioritize the projection by using the optimizer mode. So first thing I would do is two different builds. Cache, for the cache build, I would use optimizer mode. I would really only build like the top 20 lineups. And then when I get into the post build, I would do what we did on the other one, where I would change the diversity to uniques one. I would change the rank by to projected score. And then you could even, set this up for like your own template here. And then I would say for my contests that our contest type is cache. So here what I've done is say I've created a template called cache, saying put all of my contests that are type cache into one group and sort it by projected score. So I had projected score sorting that would have been for all of my contests simultaneously. This one, the difference here is that this is only for cache games. So if I had two tournaments and a GPP, well, when I clicked cache, it would effectively leave out the tournaments and only create the group for the cache game here. So that's what this template is doing. They're highly customizable. But then, once you get in here, okay, you build your 20 lineups, sort them by projected score. When you click save, it's only going to save the cache lineup to the cache contest. And then when you do the tourneys, it'll only save the tournaments to the tournament contests. And after you have built and saved within both build workspaces, then at that point, I would download the lineups from SaberSim and then upload them to whatever fantasy site I am playing on. But and just one more note here where you said SaberSim appoints lineups based on contests. So for cash games, I just want to be clear, it's kind of a tangent, but we do not project ownership for cash games, right? Like for the GPPs, we have all of like the ownership projections. None of these are for cash. We do not project ownership for cash. And for cash, we highly recommend sorting by projected score and prioritizing that. But check out that video I linked in office hours that I sent to you that'll kind of walk through this again. But those are the big things, adjustments really, I would make here in the short-term future. All right. Next question. What's the best way to set up correlation in lineups? Can we make rules of if three of one team, then at least one opponent, or is it to just pick a game and stack it? So you can definitely make rules how you listed here. You can go into the rules. You could go to add new rule. I would probably go to stack and say, this would say use at least three from one team with at least, and let's say one from the opposing team. Let me get my face out of the way here. So this would force that, right? It would say, hey, I want to use at least three players from one team and one player from the other team. What you mentioned here, where you were saying like if three from one team, then you would, when you want to use those if type rules, you would go to group auto. I would say if at least three group by team, then use at least one on the opposing team, something like that. So the if rules live in the group auto section, just so you guys know. You can do group manual too. You can use if here, and then you just have to manually go and select the players. I click edit players. I click this little double person icon, and then that will add them to the groups. And then when I want to go over to the secondary section, I click over the green highlight moves. I click edit players. And then, you know, I select more players and I fill out the rest of this rule. So yes, you can build correlation into your lineups in the way of rules. You could also consider trying to experiment with increasing the correlation slider. Like what I would do is I would just run 10 builds. And not different builds, but a different sets of lineups. Hey, I'm going to run a build on correlation zero. How do my stack exposures look? And then I'm going to run it on correlation one and then check the stack exposures. 2, 3, 4, see what impact raising the slider is having at every interval in terms of the stack types that are generated. And maybe what you end up finding is that, hey, I actually really like the way my lineups look at correlation six. Six, you know, just kind of goes with the methodology that I'm trying to approach this slate with. And, you know, maybe nine was too high. Nine was just too much. But six is kind of the sweet spot, right? Hey, we put it where we think it works, but that doesn't mean you can't come in here and change it. If we didn't think you should change it, you know, we wouldn't allow you to, right? We wouldn't have this kind of sliding scale. But no, we come in here and, you know, we set it at what we recommend, but that doesn't mean it's perfect. And you know, we want to give you control and allow you to move it to meet the, just to kind of help you get lineups that look more what you want them to look like. So I would definitely consider experimenting with the correlation slider in this instance. All right. Josh said LeBron, Reeves, and Smart are out. Going to be a fun four-game slate then with a bunch of value on the Lakers in the nightcap here. But looks like they're all marked out in the app. We haven't run updated sims yet, but all these minutes will get distributed, I would imagine, in the next hour or so here. So you can also keep up with that in the NBA lineup alert channel in Discord. You can see, hey, you know, oh, Luka's out, Reeves is out, LeBron is out, Smart is out. And then, you know, you'll see a new sim when we run one that'll look something like this. SAS at LAL has completed. So be on the lookout for that. But plenty of time. Still got like 3 hours to game to slate tip off here. I will read that again. Does 20,000 lineup pool included? Is it included in the ultimate plan? That is our elite subscription. That is our highest tier subscription. If you're interested in the elite subscription, send an email to support@sabersim.com. And one of our account specialists will break it down for you as to what that all includes. But the ultimate is up to 5,000 lineups at this time. All right, keeping it rolling. Hi, Andrew. Can you clarify this for me a bit of what I am looking at for flashback? I look at the 150 mini maxes and see that when I list by rank, first rank is often negative sim ROI. Of course, when looking back at my own flashback ROI, I've been checking the higher percentages I'm getting, engaging my approaches, but it looks like the sim ROI tends to be negative on the highest ranks. Yeah, we can for sure talk about flashbacks. Let's go back to yesterday. Okay. And we're in the contest tab. Check. Let's go find the minimax. Okay, so there's usually two mini maxes, a $2 and a 50 cent. I'm going to use the 50 cent for this example. And we're just letting these lineups load. Okay, so as far as using Flashback goes, the way I recommend using it is pick the contest you want, go to the users section, which is this little person icon right here, click on this. Then what I would do is I would set the entries, I would do a filter. Now I would do it greater than or equal to whatever number of lineups you entered, okay? So if I entered 50, I would go greater than or equal to 50. And then what I would do is I would sort by sim ROI. So this will tell me, hey, of users who entered 50 or more entries, these were the highest sim ROIs from the top down. I think this is like where I would start here. Okay. Now it's important not to analyze ROIs between contests. Each contest has what I'll call a different achievable ROI. In this contest, I'd say some of the best ROIs are somewhere above 60%. Okay. We might go to a different contest and the highest we see is 40%. And maybe a good ROI is somewhere above 20%. That has more to do with the contest dynamics as far as the stakes, as far as the size, and as far as the payout structure. All of those factors are going to effectively determine what are the highest ROIs in that specific format. Okay, so just keep in mind, different contests will have different ROIs at the top ranges. Now, what I would do from here is see where you're at on this list. If you're somewhere within the top 10, 20, 25 maxers, you know, I'd say that's good, right? I said like, hey, if you're above 60%, you're pretty good. That's true, right? That's not the very top. It's not even the top 10, but it's probably closer to top like 20, top 25 here. Now, if you were a lot lower, if you're like single digit sim ROI, you know, 10% even, I would say, hey, you know, there's probably something you're doing here that maybe isn't the best and maybe something that you can modify to improve your sim ROI. And what I would do there, right, is I would be comparing your lineups that are lower in this hypothetical example to the lineups that are higher. And maybe a good takeaway here, right, is, okay, I noticed that, hey, I am at 20%, but I have 7 dupes. My average dupes is 7, and my sim average score is like 269. Well, there are users up here at the top that have 269 sim average scores, but they only have 1 average dupe. So like my interpretation there is like, okay, our sim average score is fine, but we're just duplicating way too often. So we need to do something to try and lower our duplication, right? You might be a player who actually has low dupes, you know, okay, I'm the answer now, which is this user here. They actually have 0 average dupes, but look, their sim average score is 265. So that is, you know, way lower than this 269 that only has 1 dupe. So the dupes are not that far apart, but the sim average score is way too low in that instance, right? So what you need to do to improve your post-contest sim ROIs are always going to kind of vary depending on what your set of lineups looks like. But I think this is like the starting point. This is kind of where you want to get to. Then you can start analyzing and making adjustments to your process as needed from there. All right. This looks like another flashback question if I'm right or wrong, but this one says, hey Andrew, when I'm looking at a lineup that has say 105% ROI, how can I assess the volatility of the lineup using the other metrics that are available in the lineup tab? Okay, so I don't think this is specific to Flashback. So why don't we go back to today? And we will turn on a contest sim. Did we build lineups and attorneys? No, we did not. Okay. So let's enable a sim. Let's go to the tournament one. And we're just going to build 500 lineups. And we're going to use sim mode. And we're going to kick this build off. Okay, great. Mocha said, thanks for the great explanation and direction. You're welcome. All right, so let's let these lineups run, and we will talk more about analyzing lineups beyond just using ROI, which is a good question. All right, so we're in the post build. Our 500 lineups ran. Our contest sim is currently running. All right. So I'm going to change the diversity here from projected score, which is what we were discussing earlier, to the ROI of the contest sim we just ran. Now, for comparing lineups via the contest sim metrics, I actually like viewing them in the compact mode. So I would leave compact mode on for this. Because when you drag out this lineups tab, it actually makes it pretty clear in these rows. So for me here, I'm going to go and add the sim metrics for this specific contest that we ran. And then I am going to drag these over. And I'm probably going to expand them so we can see them bigger, know which one each is. Okay. So the question, you know, going back to the question, and we're going to remove this ROI one too. This ROI column would populate if I had an entry file uploaded, just so you guys know. So the question kind of was, hey, you know, when ROI is close, like this would be like an example I would use this. Let's say I need to pick one lineup and I'm looking at, you know, two lineups and the ROIs are pretty similar. You know, what other things can I use to kind of use as a, what can I use as like a tiebreaker? What other things can I analyze, right? Well, I think that's where some of the other contests and metrics can come into play. It could be the win rate. It could be the cash rate. It could be the standard deviation. It could be the number of dupes in the field, right? So if I'm looking at these and I'm looking at, you know, this, for instance, just looking at, you know, the top four or five lineups here, right? Well, I noticed that lineup two has a much lower win rate than the other lineups. It's 0.66. The other top five lineups, so lineup one, three, four, and five, all have a win rate over 0.8. But this one just has a 0.66 win rate. So it's a little bit lower. I think that could be a reason, you know, if you're trying to find tiebreakers to potentially rule that lineup out. It just so happens that the cash rate of that lineup is higher, which is effectively why the ROI is still high. So like, yeah, this lineup doesn't win as much, but it does still cash at a high rate. So that's why it maintains this high ROI. But maybe I don't care so much about that cash rate, right? And I care a little bit more about the win rate. So I could skip that lineup. Another one, which these are all kind of close, but yeah, win rate, cash rate, ROI, standard deviation. Basically the way this one works is the higher the standard deviation, the more upside the lineup has, but also the more downside. So think of it like if I had like a graph that looks like this. The high standard deviations, they have more outcomes in like this tail section. But you have to remember if it can go one direction, it can also go the other direction. So yeah, it has more you know, outcomes in the top, but it'll probably also have more outcomes in the bottom, where the lower standard deviations don't fluctuate as much and are a little bit more consistent, where they probably have good like percentile finishes, top 5%, top 10%, single digit percentages, but they don't have so many in like those tail outcomes. So the higher standard deviation typically represents lineups that are like a little bit more boom bust. And then the lower standard deviation lineups are lineups that are a little bit more consistent, but not as many outcomes in the top or the bottom. So there's always a little bit of a trade-off there. Those are the main metrics I'd probably be looking at. It would be standard deviation, cash rate, win rate. I would say dupes probably isn't going to come into play a ton unless you were playing showdown. But if we were playing showdown, then yes, I would consider what the dupe values are, and they would probably not all be zero. They would start to creep up just due to the nature of showdown. All right. Keeping it rolling. Next question. When late swapping, I simply refresh projections, click late swap, and press build swaps right before every game and let the tool do their thing. Should there be more to my process? Okay. I think your process is fine. I think that's totally okay. Now, the only thing I would probably add here is I would be actually checking Discord to see what has changed. So like if we were in the middle of a slate, you know, and it looks like, you know, this is some time in the middle of a slate yesterday, you know, hey, okay, you know, we're in between this window here. Cleveland game is approaching. I'm getting ready to late swap. But what actually changed in this game? It's like, okay, well, look, Dean Wade was actually ruled out and these other players' projections adjusted due to him being out. So I want to make sure I don't have any weight in my lineups. I want to make sure that I've refreshed to take advantage of all these players who have gone up, right? Sam Merrill goes up about 4 points. Schroeder goes up about 3. Porter up about 3. And there's some other smaller effects here. But yeah, good stuff there, right? Well, let's say that game starts. Okay, the next window has, you know, this Denver game. Well, it doesn't look like any projections actually change in this 30-minute window. So, you know, maybe I don't need to late swap in this time period, right? I do need to late swap after for Quentin Grimes getting rolled out, but there wasn't really a ton of reason to do it between this 30 minutes because Denver got announced. The lineup was as expected. So this just gives you a little bit more context as to what is happening in between those game start times. So I would just keep that in mind so you can just be a little bit more informed about why you're swapping and what you could potentially even be looking for. All right. Looking here in office hours and YouTube chat, think we are all caught up. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back Thursday, 4 p.m. Eastern for our next show. No show tomorrow. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.